Dojasnik, Exploring the Grandparenting Experience. And we'll have three sessions this week. And I'm going to just do what the title says, explore. I'm glad you're all here. It's something that we all love to talk about, isn't it? You know? Everybody brought pictures, you know? Those are the only pictures I brought up here were of my grandchildren. People have to look at them whether they want to or not. For 19 years, I have been teaching what I call my Let's Explore Parenting class. And so this is probably the one reason that I chose to call this Exploring the Grandparenting Experience. Out of my Let's Explore Parenting classes, at the end of most of the classes, people would say, oh, Doe, you've got to write a book, you've got to write a book. You know, well, you know, you just don't think you can write a book. And so this, after doing it probably maybe 12 years, I think I had taught the classes. And I said one morning, if one more person says, Doe, you've got to write a book, I'm going to do it, you know. And of course, you know, that very day somebody says, Doe, you've got to write a book. So I got together some of the material from the classes that I had been working with, and the concerns of parents and my responses were something that they seemed to appreciate. And out of that came this How to Build a House of Hearts. And this is a little book that says, a heart-level home makes everyone who lives there feel good. And it sort of, our premise is that get away from the psychological gimmicks and techniques that may work once or don't work at all, and come from your heart in dealing with your children. And that's what this book is about. And it's in major bookstores all over the country, and it's being used in child abuse programs and child development at some universities for their parenting classes. So I've been very happy that it has been accepted, because our first idea was to Xerox it off and put construction paper covers on it and give it away at the preschool, you know? And we finished it. I have a writing partner. And we finished it. We thought, gosh, you know, this really is, this is pretty good. And so we sent it off to CompCare Publishing. And within a week, they said called us and said a contract is in the mail. Well, I stayed up all night and laughed. You know, I thought, oh, God, I can't believe it. It was so exciting. And so my writing partner and I are both working with children and families and parents and intergenerational programming. And I had been, and still am, a widow for a long time, and I have more friends and family than I know what to do with, that I have time for. And my writing partner is a wife and full-time job and four children, and she, of course, has more family than she knows what to do with. But we found that people, through our classes and so forth, would come and be complaining and feeling, you know, either lonesome or out of the mainstream or whatever, and saying, well, you know, my parents aren't here, or I don't have a husband, or I don't have a wife, or, you know, I don't have my grandchildren around, and all this sort of thing. And so I thought, you know, this is not right. You know, what's wrong with this picture? And so we wrote the book, A Family is a Circle of People Who Love You. And this says, it's okay, it doesn't matter. You know, there's lots of people out there ready to share and to love you. Just get out there. And so, again, we sent off to CompCare our little offering, and they called back and said yes, and they upped the contract value, and we were in business again. And so I'm just sharing all this with you so that you get a little bit of my background in terms of family life and what it means and how we can explore it. And then we just were really on a high by that time, with two books out there and really feeling hot, you know, and doing autograph signing sessions at bookstores and the ABA conferences, and So it was a lot of fun. We really enjoyed it. We were still working full-time doing all of our other things. And then we began to notice, well, there are some people around that just aren't having fun with their life, you know? And we just, you know, sort of chose, because we were having such fun with our lives, that we sort of felt that people needed to grab a hold of that God-given spirit, whatever you want to call it, inside. Grab your life and live it. Enjoy it. You know, have fun with it. And so we thought, okay, well, let's make that our next chore. And so we wrote Falling in Fun again. And some of you may remember that song, Falling in Fun, Falling in Love Again. And so our original intent was that the book be for every person. And the publishers, aware of marketing and so forth, called and said, we really think this ought to be oriented more towards couples. So we rewrote and developed a few sections in it. And so it is oriented more towards couples that perhaps, I just love what the first couple of lines of the book say. One morning you wake up to the same old sound of the same old alarm, put on the same old coffee pot, and stare at the same old sleepy faces. One is your own in the mirror, and the other belongs to the person you're closest to in all the world. As you greet each other in the same old way, you realize that this day promises to be a lot like yesterday, and that tomorrow will probably be a lot like today. You know that everything's all right. Your life is pleasant. You're very grateful for that. But still, you may say to yourself, maybe we need to fall in fun again. Maybe you even say it to each other. And I say, maybe you need to say it to yourself, that it's okay to fall in fun, couples or not. So that's the experience of our book writing. We've done several articles, and one that you'll be privileged to hear this morning, Thank Heavens for Grandparents, that we wrote for a magazine. At the present, I'm working in the Gig Harbor Healthcare as director of an intergenerational learning center. And this is a child care preschool program housed in a brand new nursing home. This is truly on the cutting edge of care, and it is so exciting, and I feel like we're doing research every day. And I've been doing it for going on to, 2 years now. And not that I am, but people are saying, I'm the expert in this, and would you come and help train other people to do this? Well, we're still bumbling along like everybody else, trying to figure out what works and doesn't work. And but it's such an exciting program. And I have an article that I did write for a Washington newsletter, Intergenerational Programming, on value in visits. And this is an account of our visits to the special care unit, which is Alzheimer's and dementia, all kinds of levels and states of awareness there. And we take the kids in there and just do it. They play with puzzles, they build with blocks, we sing, we have maracas and bells and scarves that we get these people dancing, and you know, people that will sit there like this for days, and the minute the kids come in, oh, they're up and they're moving and they're happy and they're smiling, and it is really rewarding work. I took some training before I came to Gig Harbor. I had gone to Aspen, Colorado to set up a program for the city and the school district there. And while I was there, I just happened to see a training opportunity presented by Dr. Sally Newman from the University of Pittsburgh. And she was to be in Estes Park. Well, if any of you know Estes Park, you want to go to Estes Park again and spend some time there. So I did. And it was very intense training on dealing with senior residents and working with children together. And so when I came and got the job in Gig Harbor, I had a few misgivings about, oh, gosh, I don't know, because my field is child development, working with children. And at first I thought, oh, I don't know how good this is for these kids to be with these, you know, these old people that are drooling and, you know, saying, making funny noises and just, you know, really just, oh, I just wasn't quite ready, I guess. And so one morning before work at the crack of dawn, I called Sally at the University of Pittsburgh and I said, Sally, I have a little bit of a problem here, you know, and is this okay? And she said, no, get those kids down there. She said, we do this, blah, 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 blah. You know, she just wasn't going to even listen to me. So I went to work that day, you know, a little bit more reinforced and building up my confidence a bit. And that very morning, Nana wheeled her wheelchair right into the classroom as the kids were eating their morning snack. I thought, oh boy. Because Nana was, I think, 97 and not all there. And she was just a precious little thing. But she had her way. And she came in and sat there and she kind of looked around and then she starts, you know, just this wild noises. And Reese looked over at Nana and said, Nana, will you be quiet? Perfect. The kid handled it. Nana looked at him, she was quiet. You know, I didn't worry a bit after that. The kids handled it in their way. It was just great. And so people will say to me, do you prepare the children? Do you talk about if they die? Do you talk about all these? I said, not a chance. Just let it happen. And this seems to be the way that it's worked out over the past 2 years. The children will warm up to it. If we try and set a stage and we try to teach them how to be nice to people, you know, it just doesn't work. They have to find their own level of comfort with these people. And they are doing it faster than we thought they would. I also have another article that you're welcome to look. This was in the Gig Harbor Gateway, and it's a delightful story and an account of generations work together. And she so succinctly picked up on our message of what we're trying to do there. And one of the things we do is to sing, you are my sunshine, your only sunshine, you know this. Well, everybody at any age knows that song. And we go through the hall singing, you are my sunshine, and people will reach out from their wheelchairs to touch the children, and they'll sing. And we can hear them singing coming from their rooms, in their beds, they'll sing, you are my sunshine. We go through the dining room and they sing. And so it's a kind of an experience that, for me, has been heartwarming. Another wonderful thing about my experience in this particular center is that my four-year-old grandson is in the program, so I see him every day, all day, and that is just grand. I have a little article here I thought I would like to share with you. Speaking of grand, the magic word is grand. And I'm going to give you all a chance to tell of your little experiences, but I have to share that my 9-year-old granddaughter wanted to have her ears pierced for her 10th birthday, and Dad wasn't too sure about this, but Grandma thought it was a neat idea. And so Dad consented to have it happen. And so Andrea and I went to have her ears pierced and got some little dangly earrings, you know, and she's very sophisticated at 10 now. And she sent me a thank you note for this. And she said, Dear Doe, thank you for the wonderful birthday present. You are the nicest grandma in world history. And I just think, you know, how did she think of that? I mean, it was, and I think that she was just trying to think of the grandest thing she could say, you know. But the nicest grandma in world history. Oh, did that warm my heart or what? The magic word is grand. When you were a child and somebody asked you what you wanted to be when you grow up, did you ever think a grandparent? No, of course not. At that tender age, we all yearn to be firefighters, airline pilots, astronauts, or just plain millionaires. We don't have enough savvy to recognize the glorious advantages that automatically come with grandparenthood. For starters, we don't realize that grandparent status surpasses plain parent status simply because of the all-important word tacked up in front. The magic word is grand. Think of what it does for a piano. You can't imagine, can't compare a plain piano with a grand piano, can you? Or you don't want to be a piano, think of yourself as a ballroom. Wouldn't you rather be a grand ballroom? I think that's so sweet. You can give your grandchildren the kind of selfless love that otherwise found only in love stories. A love without conditions. A love they know won't be withdrawn, no matter how much you might disapprove of something they have done. Indeed, never again in their whole lives will they be loved simply because they exist. Don't parents give that kind of love? And having been one, you should know the answer to that. They can't, not if they're normal parents. That's because parental love is a far more complicated emotion. Devotion and duty, pride and possessiveness. Theirs is the responsibility to raise the child, to discipline, to praise, and they can't help but withhold some love, or at least it seems like that, to the children when they don't live up to expectations, and to dispense more love when they excel. It is in your power to bring out the best human qualities in your grandkids, and to do so without planning for it or turning it into a lesson. What makes this possible is that there is none of the tension between you and your grandchildren that are inevitable between them and their parents. Not surprisingly, most children are naturally sweet to devoted grandparents. You imagine? I mean, you know, you all know when they come to your house, they're just perfect, and parents say, "No way, you know, I don't believe it." It is with you that they learn to treasure the bliss that comes from being considerate and generous. Andrea did say to me once, "Doe, I don't think you've ever been angry with me." And I think that's what grandparents are for.
Have you been?
No. No. Because she is so perfect when she's with me. You know? I don't need to be. I mean, they just are okay. Your relationship with your grandchildren does not evolve towards separation when they go through adolescence, as it must be in healthy families between children and their parents. To be sure, the nature of your relationship changes, but it is always close. I'm going to spend about a month with my 19-year-old granddaughter this summer, and she will be in her third year of college. And our relationship has really changed, but she keeps saying, "God, we're so much alike, though." You know, well, Bumma is what she calls me. And dear Bum, you know, or across the room, "Hey, Bum," I just love it. But we really are very much alike. And have any of you experienced that your grandchildren are more like you than their parents, and that maybe your children were like your parents? My daughter is very much like my mother, and my granddaughter is very much like me. And it sort of goes that, you know, they try to be, we want to be different than our parents, so maybe we'll, you know, kind of latch on to another person. When the kids are very young, you are their most trusted guardian, your mythical hero, wizard, or fairy godmother. And that just touched me personally, because when I came to visit Andrea, they lived in New Mexico and I lived in California, and every 4 to 6 weeks I was in an airplane going to visit. And every time I would go, I would bring my magic suitcase. And every morning, and I gave Andrea a wand, a little gold wand about this long, and she had to go to this magic suitcase every morning and say, "Abracadabra," something, I forget what little verse we had made up, you know, and she had to tap it 3 times, and then I would open the suitcase and there would be a little treasure in there for her every morning of my stay. She got into that every morning, would come in my room, snuggle for a while, and then just reach over for the wand, you know, and do the little bit. Well, as she grew older, you know, the suitcase became less magical, and, you know, she knew that it was just me putting the presents in there, so it just kind of faded away. But for a few years, it was just delightful, this little magic that she thought that Grandma had, you know. And then teenagers regard you as an honored ancestor. I love that. Confidant and counselor. And when they grow up, you become their crony. One aspect does not change. Throughout life, grandparents are likely to be role models for them, whether the kids realize it or not. While children often want to be different from their parents, they don't feel that way necessarily about their grandparents, and studies have shown that it's quite true. Okay, now I've done some talking, and I really want to hear about your stuff. And so give me names and numbers of grandchildren and, you know, one wonderful experience. Pat, do you have grandchildren?
I have three.
Three, okay.
There's three, two, and one.
Oh, three, two, and one.
They have the same parental units.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of any right.
Okay, that's all right.
Just get me. Yeah.
How about you?
That's three.
Uh-huh.
There are three, one, and one, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So they're pretty little yet.
Little yet, uh-huh.
We don't see them real often, a couple times either.
It's special,
yeah,
when you do.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to make special time.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
She just described it.
That's yours with her? Okay.
I'm
okay.
Grandpa that goes
your
with
grandpa that goes with this. Great. So you agree with what she had to say, right? Okay.
We've got three cousins that are 6 weeks apart, and they're Montessori. We've got two and one being born sometime this week.
Oh, oh wow.
She's almost here.
Uh-huh. Good.
The boys are 3 years old, and they're 6 weeks apart.
Any special experiences there that you'd like to share?
With one, we just were able to take him for a weekend, and we took him on a train ride.
Oh.
Because we're afraid to. They're not going to be around much longer if the train's there.
Right. Oh, I know. That's what I'm going to do.
We had a great weekend.
Uh-huh. Good. That's neat. And you're?
I have a six-month-old granddaughter.
Uh-huh. Just loving that, huh? Doesn't it feel good?
Yeah.
That's great. Uh-huh.
Still deciding whether I want to be a grandparent.
I love that. Oh, that's great. That's great.
I have three. Uh-huh. I have two kids, but the three grandchildren are all in one family.
Uh-huh.
They're 5, 3, and about 6 months. Uh-huh. And they have traveled so much around the world that uh-huh. I keep following them. The second one was born in Brussels, and then they went
wonderful.
To Senegal as missionaries, so I had to go to Africa.
Oh, one, too bad.
And now they're back in Oklahoma, but moving to Virginia. So it's been very long distance.
Yes.
And in between, they do get to my house in Tucson,
good.
Arizona. And it was interesting to me, the oldest one, every time they come back from someplace, they stay with me for a while. And so the oldest one is always associated in Nino's house as the base. And it was important to be there.
Yes.
They had been living in Oklahoma for about a year before they finally could get away to come back to my house. And he was agitating the whole time to come back to Nino's house.
Mm-hmm.
He used to call me on the telephone. He knew which number to punch. And he'd call me almost every day, uh-huh. or at least once a week. Mm-hmm. They came during their spring break this year. Mm-hmm. He had an absolutely wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't called me since.
Mm-hmm.
He realized that I was there and that it was okay.
It was okay.
And he didn't
yes.
have to worry about it.
Oh, love it.
So that was really special.
Yes.
I'm sure you know about this book, but I want to mention it for the others.
Sure.
There's a really neat book called The Long Distance Grandmother.
Uh-huh. No, I don't know it.
Can't remember the author, but the first mm-hmm. word is long distance. And you'll
good.
Find it
to find it, yes.
And it's just full of all sorts of things that
to
you
do.
Can do with and for your kids when they're way, way far away.
Perfect. Well, it sounds like you know what to do. That's great.
We've got lots of postcards.
Yes, that's true. Good. Yes,
well, we have three grandchildren. Two, my daughter has two, and the one is, the little boy is four, and the second boy is two and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have my son has a, how old is she? She'll be here
year
this summer.
July.
And the two boys live only about a mile from us, so we get to see mm-hmm. them a lot. And, well, we have lots of special times, but one thing that is very special with them, we have a big driveway, long driveway, and in the wintertime, our kids come home and we have a winter sports party
mm-hmm.
when they play,
mm-hmm.
all the nieces and nephews and grandkids and everybody, and so there are 20 to 30 people there, And the little kids have gotten the idea of playing hockey. So Reyes cut off a couple hockey sticks, and we play that out in the driveway with tennis balls.
Perfect.
Kids, you should see them running around. It is
That's
so much
great.
Fun, but they have to have us there.
Of course.
And we've got some movies, pictures of it, and it's just priceless.
Good.
And they love to come here.
They also have a daughter. You can get to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Granddaughter.
Yes.
You can tell me.
No, you can tell them.
Oh, we don't get to see our granddaughter so long, often, but we're going to see her now in Seattle.
Good.
So.
Okay, how about you?
Okay.
No?
Let's see. I have four grandchildren, and two of them were here with their mother and father the last 2 weeks, and mm-hmm. we shared a chalet, and that was fun mm-hmm. because I hadn't
yes.
had 2 weeks with them because they live 250 miles away or something. So that was fun. I shared a room with the four-year-old, and so mm-hmm. that was fun. And she gets up and crawls in bed with you to read stories. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I have one granddaughter in Saudi Arabia, and mm-hmm. they are home every summer for about 2 months. They'll be home 23rd of June. Mm-hmm. But I do what you do with long-distance children. I buy always paperback because of the cost mm-hmm. of postage, but paperback mm-hmm. books, and then I read them on a tape for her.
Oh, nice idea.
She's 4 and a half, and mm-hmm. her mother and dad say she listens to them over and over, mm-hmm. and then I make comments, you know, that this looks like, doesn't this look like, you know, Grandpa's farm, or doesn't this, you know, and that's fun for me, and her
nice
mother
idea.
Says, so far she thinks they're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, when she
lovely.
Reads herself, it probably won't be such a
but she hears your voice.
Yeah. Right. That's important, isn't it?
And when we call on the telephone, which I can't afford to do too often either, well, her dad will say, you've talked long enough, Alice.
Right.
Because she would ramble on and on about everything. But I talk to her about hearing her voice.
Yes, oh, I know.
I'm sorry, I said a teenager at 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have 3 teenagers.
Yes, so you know.
I was talking to my 4-year-old granddaughter that is was here last week one night, and she said, I said, well, I think, could I talk to your mom now? And she said, I have 10 things to tell you. And she was making them up, of course, and she went.
Sure,
you know?
Right.
And the mother said she had because she had the telephone here, she'd go
like this.
And then she got 5 and was stuck, and she turned it around.
Turn it around. Like oh, I love it. Thank you. Hi, you good?
We have two grandchildren, a girl mm-hmm. and boy, mm-hmm. and they're very close. They live close enough, and I guess we are almost like their first babysitters. I mean, mm-hmm. we're mm-hmm. able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we have a very close relationship. And they're very comfortable in our house.
Good.
And they call us Mama and Papa, uh-huh. and when they talk on the phone, if the younger one, the boy, his name is Christian, if he's talking to me, he'll immediately says, where's Papa? So they think of us as one couple.
Both of you. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, back there, any of you guys?
I just have one in the oven.
Oh.
I can't wait.
Well, good luck, yes.
Yeah, I have no grandchildren. We have 3 adult children, but no grandchildren. But 3 of our children's grandparents are living. So both my parents and Karen's mother.
Very nice.
So it's been great fun for us as adults to see our children have the benefit of growing into adulthood with their grandparents.
And knowing them.
Because my grandparents died when I was 3. So
mm-hmm.
I
know.
I have this pleasure of knowing my grandparents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a real treat to have that. Yeah. Yes, go ahead.
I just have 2 young children, uh-huh. a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think the closest relationship that I've ever known was one with my grandma. She was the most important person in my life, and she mm-hmm. died about 5 years ago. So I've always mm-hmm. Held, I think, a special value to mm-hmm. that grandparent relationship, even mm-hmm. if it's not through the bloodline, but a special
right.
older friend or something.
Yes.
So. The boys have grandparents, but they don't want to be involved to the degree that I would like that. So I try
yes.
and nurture other older mm-hmm. relationships with them.
Good for you. Stretch out those. Yes.
We just had a special experience.
Good.
If I may.
Yes.
art.
Oh, wow.
And nights.
Yes, we know.
And the little boy.
What age was that?
5 and 3.
Uh-huh.
And the little boy, he went to sleep good 2 nights, but 2 nights he fussed. And the little girl was okay, but she's very, very powerful, the little girl is. Strong-willed. Uh-huh. But I haven't, like I said, I haven't wiped a dirty butt for a long time.
Yeah.
And so I was doing that. Normally when they're over, she does that. So I was doing everything for 4 days. That's busy. That's
yes. It's real busy. Oh, but you survived.
Yep.
Good. And you'll do it again.
Yep.
Okay, I see we time is flying. And I'd really like to have us have some little groups discussions, maybe 4 or 5 of you gather together here. And I have 3 things that I don't know if we'll have time to discuss all, but maybe we can go into the next session. The first one, how has the role of grandparenting changed? Thinking from your grandparents to, you know, grandparents now and so forth. And how has the relationship with your children been affected by their having children? And maybe we'll have only time for those two. Let's just talk about those two. How has the role of grandparenting changed, say, in the last, you know, 2 or 3 generations? And how has the relationship with your children been affected by their having children and changing your role to additionally being a grandparent? So let's just kind of break up and brainstorm about this for a bit and see what we can come up with, see if we can come up with some specific things that have changed.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
That group was pretty small. One thing that how changed was I can follow not with was your long distance stuff.
And I think for my
don't you think people
said
well that but that was true when I was young with my grandparents too. I didn't know my only son there was sort of the issues. But I remember being treated them because they were very strict. And I'm sure they were very, very kind. But there was never any question of having fun.
They were so good.
Yeah. And one of my grandparents was much more
who loved to be more.
And he had an accident. He'd been a city missionary in Chicago, and he had an accident. When he was there, he was super sensitive. And I remember,
I was a latchkey kid, and so my grandma
and he was a fair.
When I went my parents to school, she's the one that brought me to the guitar and stuff like that. So it was a very special relationship with me. And I always thought that my parents would be there for my kids. And they have chosen to remain quite distant. And so it's kind of strange that they haven't just been able to let down at the last time. She never did. And she still is wanting to be.
And she worked
all the way around to grandma.
And she's occasionally
don't touch and don't break things. So I think the role as far as grandparenting
taken that.
For my grandma, she was a real kind of take charge, get in there and just do it. You know, and relieve my mom and my dad a lot of the responsibilities. Whereas now my children's grandparents are more, they kind of have to be asked.
Quiet.
You know, it's almost like needing permission or something. Yeah. Anyway.
My grandparents. I was always invited to my grandparents. And they lived far away. And there wasn't the communications back then. Anyways, there wasn't anything set up with me. But I know it was very special to go to their house. And I can, even to this day, remember the smell of my grandmother's cigar. If I would ever smell somebody, that's my grandfather's cigar.
and often will think of the special times, the feeling, special feelings I had for my grandparents. And I hope with my little grandchild that's coming that it's saying you're my daughter, that we can work out exactly the feelings that you have with your parents. Because I feel with my daughter now that I don't know where it's okay to be. I feel I have exactly the mom feeling.
Which is very unusual.
Yeah, right. And there's another grandparent, of course, that's going to be involved there too. And, you know, I feel now that my daughter is, she lives near them and they do everything with that family. They'll come to me. And so I don't know where my place is right now. And so I hope when I pray that I never want to be a grandparent that stands back. I want to be the grandparent that's in there.
But come from your heart.
Yeah, I do.
And parents really need that.
I hope. I'm glad to hear you say that because I hope my daughter feels like
they don't want to carry the burden all to themselves.
But also the children. The grandchildren. They absolutely. The time they were born, I told them always, I told the grandchildren, when they, when the first time I heard it, I said, you know, your dad loves you. And so every day I've ever seen her, I said that.
She still wants to hear
my name. You always call me Augie.
And
I was about the age of 8 or 9, and he died when I was in college. But and I felt close to him, but not really. He wasn't alive. But he was there, and he read his books and smoked his pipe. And I was always comfortable with him, but he wasn't one that fussed with time, my grandma. And then I had a grandmother who lived to be 94 on the other side. And she was there.
Oh, I think kids will never say that about me.
And she was to care of us, aunts and uncles. And I always knew she had a grandmother and aunt lived on the same block. That if you came home from school and your mother wasn't home, Aunt Gwen or Grandma would be. So I think, you know, we were close in a way, but she wasn't the kind that hugged you and loved you. But when my children were small, we
didn't have to be. Because that was what his dad, my grandfather, was on.
Husband's family. And now that I'm a grandmother, I think how sad that we didn't live close to her. I really, because I love to see my grandchildren and I. In a way, we cheat our parents because of the way, on the other hand, you can't cluster your family around you.
If there's any distance, because there wasn't the transportation 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Right. So, and we do get, but the fun you have of having children in the same town is I love one family nearby.
Yeah. I always tell all of them, you can stay here.
Yeah.
I want to enjoy my grandchildren.
Can we wind up this first question? And I'd like to have some specifics that have come out of these discussions. I know they're just exciting. Give me one change that's happened in the role of grandparenting from generation to generation.
You said it.
We're more fun. You got that right. Okay.
More involvement.
More involvement.
They were caring, but not, but very stern.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All I remember of my grandmother is that she baked bread and made quilts, and I don't ever remember hearing her voice. I don't ever remember hearing her voice. She just sat with her hands like this. And I have a picture of her when she's my age, and she has her hair up in a big bun, you know, and a long dress, and big shoes, and she's sitting there like this. I'm, oh, God, you know.
That's true.
Deliver me, you know. So, okay, well, I think you've all come up with the same kinds of things. We are. It's changing, isn't it? We are more involved, we're more active, you know. And it was funny, in, I forget which one of our books, the illustrator had the three generations, grandma, parent, and child. And I sent it back, and I said, I don't look like that. They had this little old lady, you know, with the pearls, and, you know, like this. You know, I said, forget it. You know, that's not grandmas of today.
No.
So we've really got to rethink that, don't we?
Aren't we healthier so that we can do
those? Oh, yes, we've got to be. Yes, Yes.
I was just going to say, I think, I've been thinking about this whole thing too, because I'm doing this intergenerational music. And I think traditions are so important in families. And that is one thing that I can remember, even of my grandfather. I was telling about that he was very frail. But I remember when I was only in elementary school, my parents took us, seven kids, and we took a trip to Yellowstone Park from southern Wisconsin. This was very unusual. And we visited my grandparents, and then my grandpa came and with some aunts and uncles, and they went camping with the whole family. So it was an intergenerational thing. And that was unusual.
We'll get into traditions and customs the next time.
This whole thing has carried on.
The things that maybe just happened to be unique for our grandkids with remarriages, marriages. I think our grandkids have eight great-grandparents, eight grand-grandparents, and living grandparents, foster, and stuff like that.
Yes.
And I think all of them really care for these kids.
And six grandparents, so six. They walk into a room, they say,
hi, grandma, grandma, everybody's
on the top. Yeah, grandma who?
Okay.
Divorce and remarriage.
Okay, let's take, we've got maybe 5 minutes now, and talk about how has the relationship with your children been affected by their having children? You got that? How has the relationship with your children been affected by their having children? They're becoming parents that you were. You know, what do you think about? All right, any ideas on how this has affected your relationship with your children? Okay, the next session will be on Thursday at 6:40, and we're going to try and get into grandparents and family roots and traditions of grandparents, and also as grandchildren, as arrows into the future. So be thinking about those two things. Grandparenting as being connected with the past, but also children being your connection to the future. So I'll see if we can come up with some things, and we'll have a little more discussion on that and some articles that I want to share with you on that too. So thank you very much. This has been fun. Yes.